Speaking of Conroe's Rays, that was a perfect segue, Mr. Erskine.
Thank you, sir.
I feel like you got it in a nutshell, so I want to do it. I'm Laurie Dozier. I'll be giving a brief presentation today on just an update on the Conroe's Ray in the Chesapeake Bay based on findings that came out of a workshop done by the GIT, the NOAA Goal Implementation Team, called together a lot of professionals in the area of Conroe's Rays and got them together in October, I believe, in Maryland, and just different communities, scientific community, stakeholders, and had a meeting about what was the most current available science on Conroe's Rays. So, just some brief points of their life history. Conroe's Rays move from wintering grounds off the coast of Central Florida up the Atlantic coast and enter estuaries in North Carolina, Virginia, Delaware, and as far as New Jersey in the summer. Obviously, that's where we see them in the bay. They migrate into the Chesapeake Bay around the late spring. Only mature adult rays migrate into the bay for reproductive efforts that occur there. And the Conroe's Rays in the Chesapeake Bay are actually only a fragment of the Western Atlantic population. There's several groups, and they migrate back off the coast and back to Florida in the winter. I'll give you a second to take in all of that. When you're ready. So this is just continued life history. It's important to note that their gestation period is 11 months, sometimes longer. They give birth around late June and early July. They're generally mated again almost immediately after. The oldest female VIMS has ever recorded was 21 years old, and that's out of 700 to 800 females surveyed. Females generally reach maturity around 7 to 8 years, and males around 6 to 7 years. So there's different implications regarding life history. Their diet and effects. I'm sorry, I need to sit down. Bear with me, thank you. Thin studies have shown that Conroe's Rays won't actually target the shellfish industry, but Associate Member Erskine is very right. They do take advantage of the shellfish industry when they can. If presented with an easy consumed prey, they will take advantage of that opportunity. VIMS staff is currently working with the shellfish growing industry to develop predation deterrence. These are some other facts, some misconceptions. They're not an invasive species. They have been found in our local geological record, so that goes way back. They're not something new to the area. Conroe's Rays are not a state. They are also only a ray or a state that swims close, the only ray or state that swims close to the surface. For about 5 years of their life cycle is actually unknown when they're juvenile. We're not sure where they go. They're susceptible to overfishing, as Associate Member Mr. Erskine noted, because of low fecundity and long maturity. Many unknowns still exist about their life history and their stock status. I just want to note before I go on, there's actually no stock assessments that have been done on them, so we are limited, and there's no commercial fishery, so also we're limited on data as far as it's all just experimental data that the scientists have conducted. Different research purposes. VIMS advisory services staff has worked with industry members to start an intensive marketing effort for the last several years for Conroe's Rays product. They have looked at domestic and foreign markets and they interacted with local chefs and buyers, but nothing really took off. The efforts of the carcass are not likely to be continued due to a low demand and high processing cost due to their irregular shape. They do have poisonous spines. There's also no parts of the ray that are currently in demand. If a fishery did start and a more consistent volume is harvested, then some marketable product forms could create a demand, so then they could be at risk. Just references where we got our facts. Our recommendation from that meeting this is from the FinFish Advisory Committee meeting met back in December. They requested that a letter or notice be sent or posted to the agency website to remind the public to report that cow nose ray harvest and discards as it is crucial to the monitoring of the stock status. We just don't have those numbers available right now, and we need to start keeping track of them. These are our future staff's future management plans, along with FMAC. The FMAC would like to remind all commercial harvesters to report harvest and discards of cow nose rays via a notice on the agency Facebook page. They also like staff to contact local recreational clubs to ascertain whether they are conducting bow fishing tournaments, and once they've identified the tournaments, staff wants to propose that there be a mandatory registration of such events with the commission and require a report of total removals of rays by the event. Staff will also work to develop a regulation to mandate data from both commercial and recreational fisheries. Staff's going to work closely with the Regulatory Review Committee to accomplish that.
Thank you, Lori. Chief, I see your hand up.
Yes, barely. I got a half a hand, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. So I just want to remind everyone what this is all about. Several months ago, there was a YouTube event which was held in Maryland and concerned a lot of different people, including the Secretary of Natural Resources, Molly Ward, who asked the commissioner to come to the commission and ask for essentially a prohibition on taking any rays. The commission asked that be brought back to FMAC, which it was. FMAC really only had about three comments, and none of them were on the lines of conservation, frankly. And there were a couple stories about how, if you think that's not conservation, you ought to see how I fish. So that's what happened at FMAC. Then we talked to the commission, and the commission knew there would be this event that was held by the Sustainable Fisheries, GIT. The GIT is led by NOAA, but it has Maryland, Virginia, D.C., PRSC, NGOs, and others that are involved in this sort of bay-wide approach to figuring out different aspects of conservation to make it really easily. When we were at ASMSC in early February, we followed up by asking the two states that seemed likely to know something about cow nose rays, Florida and New Jersey, as to what they did. Both states told us they had a wanton waste law, and both states said, frankly, you can't really do much with it because you still have to observe the waste you still have to observe it in progress. That they're on the books, but pretty much that's it. Florida indicated that it didn't know of many problems with bow fishing on the Atlantic coast, but along the Gulf Coast, yes, there was a lot of activity and everything else. And then Florida told us that they would get back to us if they found out more about the Atlantic coast part of it. New Jersey, on the other hand, it was completely different. New Jersey told us that they were moving very slowly towards a fishery for bow hunting in the way that there would be caps, there would be regulations, it would be controlled pretty tightly, but that again, and it was reemphasized to us, they're moving very slowly, but that's what they want to do. That's their idea on how to solve the bow fishing problem. They don't think it's going to go away, and they think the best thing to do is to pretty much know who's involved in it, get a permit going, and, you know, not too dissimilar of what you saw Laurie Dozier show with one of the recommendations of the workshop to get at least the clubs identified. So I think at some point we'd like to come back, staff would like to come back to the commission and, you know, get your sense of how you would like things to move forward. FMAC had some recommendations. They're really recommendations to the commission. You know, that's FMAC's role. So we haven't really put anything on the website encouraging harvesters to, report their discards of cow nose rays or anything else like that. And I think it probably is best to come back at a later time and give you time to think about this. That makes sense to us at least. I'm trying to find, Laurie, your slide with the
one more
forward.
Yes.
Okay. There we are. So, I mean, these might be some good ideas, and now that you know that, you know, a state like New Jersey thinks they can solve the problem by confining everyone into a known fishery, you know, that's another avenue. And so whatever you wish us to do next is fine, but we have come to this point where we've fulfilled your request to go to FMAC and to go to the workshop and come back. And by the way, at the workshop, the bow hunting didn't come up at all until I brought it up. And finally, in the last probably 20 minutes of the workshop, I brought it up, and the only comments I remember was one of the biologists said, you really shouldn't target a gear. In other words, you shouldn't just pick on one gear because there are other gears that also have, you know, mortality associated with cow nose rays from them. So then the hard part, someone else said, yes, you really have to target human behavior, which is, you know, that's a whole new realm for a fishery manager. But I suppose in a way, it is always said that we are managing the fishermen more so than the fish. So we'd be happy to come back and see what you'd like to do at a later time.
Sure, let me throw that out to the commission. Mr. Erskine.
I guess I just have a question. You indicated, Rob, before that this was maybe the result of, or was the result of a YouTube video, and that YouTube video took place in Maryland. And it seems to me that we're missing the point. The point of that YouTube video, I should say the outcry of that video, was more the treatment of the animal versus, wait a second, we might be overfishing this. So these are kind of two different things where you're talking about fishery management plans, but there is no fishery. And making recommendations for management plans seems a little bit premature, because we don't even know the status of the stock. Numbers, population size. Seems to me that we need to be looking at if this is of interest to get the data in place. A YouTube video that may have been offensive to some may not have been offensive to others, but it doesn't mean make fishery management plans.
Well, not to take a contrary point, but June here is a big time for the clubs. And so we now understand there are several of these tournaments, and there is waste involved. And I think all staff is interested in is the bow hunting aspect right now. What should we do? What's the direction to sort of go forward on the bow hunting? Is it as simple as one of these recommendations? Let them know that we're here, and we'll know that they're there, and they can register, and we know they're there, and they can give us a report, which we could do by regulation, this has been talked about, of the tournaments and the, you know, the kills. But this is not about much more right now than what the commission wanted, which was the bow hunting. However, the two things that you just mentioned, which I agree with you completely, and I've talked to Bob Fisher about, is we really need some sense of the stock size. We'll call it a stock in Chesapeake Bay. If there's a Western population and the Chesapeake Bay is whatever portion of that is in any one year, how do we get even a semblance of knowing what that is so that we can go forward at some point? I mean, it is in the future, it would seem there can be a fishery. Other stocks that we know about that we wouldn't think would be exploited end up exploited. And you want to exploit a stock with, you know, the right information on what the health of that stock is, what the status is, some idea, which is the big outcry from those who are kind of mad at anyone taking any cow nose rays. They feel that one of the cousin families has certainly gone under severe overfishing and been overfished, and keep pointing out to us for years now, 4 or 5 years, you know, that can happen here too. And we keep saying what you just said. There's really not a fishery. There is some removals. There is some bycatch. Pound nets do get some rays. Mostly they're not landed. So I really don't know how to move forward on the bigger picture, because that we don't have enough. We don't have the information. But I think if the commission still has interest in the bow hunting aspect, then that's something that we could move forward with. And it could be simple, like a registry. It could be more complicated, like a bow hunting fishery, where you actually have regulations that say, here's when you can do it, here's when you can't do it, here's how many you can take. Now, obviously, the latter is not a welcome thing for fisheries management, right? But, you know, we want to make sure the commission at least gives us the guidance to move forward. And that's why I thought maybe we'd wait till another meeting.
Or another year or two.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Three, four.
We're on a waiting ship.
Mr. Zedra.
I agree with Mr. Erskine there. You know, this whole thing comes as a reaction to a video, and that in light of the shortness, shortage of staff to do some of the key investigations and accounting for different areas that we need to be in, this doesn't seem to be in those categories. And I would agree with him that we have done what the commissioner or the secretary has asked. We've looked at it. And you know, I'm sitting here and listening to the fact that reporting from the fishermen ain't happening, and then it'll be no different here. We can put a regulation in and say, tell us how many fish you catch, and then I got to tell you, and I was telling somebody earlier today, in North Carolina, we've got the Red Snapper survey that runs over there, and all the local people say, don't tell those people anything, because all they're going to do is close their season, and that's exactly what happened. They closed the season. And so that's out there. And so I don't see, just because you contact these people and say, hey, report these, you think that guy that shot those rays with that bow going to report that? You know, somebody probably got it on their telephone, and that's probably how it got on the TV. You know, so I agree with Mr. Erskine. I think we ought to postpone this a couple of years, or unless some slight, sort of significant event comes up and that requires us to relook at it.
If I may, and I obviously I don't have pink glasses on, so I don't quite think that everything will be reported. But at the same time, when we have a regulation, we have a lot of regulations about reporting. You don't have to report, but if you are found having harvested, then you're in a world of trouble. And that's the way regulations and law enforcement work. So I do think that if we ever had the means to do some of these things, that we would take them as seriously as we do summer flounder rules, blue crab rules, anything else. I agree that they're going to be very reticent, and these clubs especially, but, you know, everything starts out that way. I mean, I can remember when the only regulation on the books was one on blue crabs back in the 80s, and that was about it. And now we have 80-some regulations. So it's a matter of, you know, being submerged and the industry getting submerged in what they have to do. You have all these cases here that you're going through, and word of mouth is a powerful deterrent as well. So, I mean, I'm only saying that it is important that we all recognize that we know that you can misreport, you can fail to report, you can do all sorts of things, but eventually things can happen. So we have to sort of go by that, because there's so many out there as far as it could do that. So I just hope you don't mind me saying that. And if everyone on the commission feels that staff has fulfilled its obligations, we're very happy. Trust me.
Okay, that sounds like my note to jump in. I appreciate what FMAC's done here, and actually, I like the direction FMAC is recommending here. One that believes that the best decisions are made with the best available information, and the more information is, having more information is better than having not enough information. So I like the recommendation here that the bow fishing tournaments be registered. That way we have a way to identify how often this is happening, how many people are participating, and we can ask them to estimate how many kills there were. Doesn't mean we have to do anything about it. I don't think we're anywhere near a position here where we're to do anything, or we really have enough information to do anything. But it strikes me as that's kind of a simple step to at least set the stage to collect some basic information. Maybe we can collect some science information along the way. It gives us a little bit more to work on. I don't see a harm in asking the bow fishing tournaments here that are making financial and recreational benefits out of our natural resources, at least tell us what they're doing and how many people are participating. And if it doesn't go any further than that, I'm okay with that. I think that's a start, because, you know, if we got another issue that pops up down the road, or we have some significant effort that starts in on this fishery and makes it a fishery here, we'll be back wishing we had done this to at least get some basic information. At least that's my basic sense of it. I saw Mr. Erskine's hand first.
So I guess I would make a suggestion based on this information, which I do appreciate the work. But it seems, I'll go back to the same thing about that video that started this whole thing, is the fact that there was a concern about these tournaments that had carcasses that were not being utilized. It was not full utilization of the species. The question was, wait a second, what's happening with these? They're just letting them die. Well, then the organizations or the groups that are concerned about that should work with the bow fishing tournaments to go and collect the carcasses and grind them up for fertilizer or dog food or do something with them and make them fully utilized. That, in my opinion, should be a recommendation.
No, I think that's fine. And I think we're getting, you know, that's just one situation, bow fishing. But we have for 4 or 5 years at least been sort of pinpointed for even not having a management plan for cow nose rays. And when we say, well, we don't have a management plan because we don't have a directed fishery, how can we have a management plan? We don't have any science, we don't have any reference points, and yet it comes back. And there were some rather testy articles about a year and a half ago about our inability to have a management plan. So it's from that direction as well. But I agree with what you're saying. And I have to say, though, it's not going to be that difficult if we identify the clubs just on this one issue and get them involved. And then maybe your suggestion, Mr. Erskine, is something that we can also promote to them. That, hey, if you want to stay out of the spotlight, why don't you find some way not to make a, you know, a mess of things while you're out there having sport? So, you know, I agree with you.
Mr. Cedarin, did I see your hand?
Yes, I'm concerned about, you know, their staff does an excellent job. When they're given a job to come up with research, investigation, they go all out. They go 150% out there, you know. And what I'm worried about is looking at these resources that are starting to dwindle away, people are retiring, things of that nature. Do we need to task them with, you know, another burden when there's no need to, in my mind? I agree with Mr. Erskine here. I mean, our staff does an excellent job, and they put – I mean, somebody's got to do this. If you say somebody's got to contact these tournament people, somebody's got to keep the records, somebody's got to put them on the computers, somebody got to notify everything, and that somebody is our staff. And so I'm concerned that we're, you know, overburdening our staff when an excellent report is sitting before us saying that there's not a real crisis and there's no fishery. So why are we going to take and saddle our staff with more reporting requirements when we don't need to? That's my opinion.
This is not going to be something that breaks staff, if I ask most of the staff. Plus, I'm sure MIS is a big help to us. So this is almost easier once we contact the clubs and send them the information. That's it. And then we wait for them. It's not going to be anything more involved than when we start a permit, like we did for striped bass this past year, and we had thousands of people trying to get the permit and lots of calls. So it does all add up. I appreciate you fending for us. I really do. I am concerned about this next round to get to June and to have something happen again, not in Maryland, but in Virginia, and we don't have the ability to say, well, listen, we're being proactive. We've already contacted the clubs. We've asked them to tell us when their tournaments are, how many members they have, how many animals they might, you know, have taken afterwards if they feel like telling us. And I think that's important because all three jurisdictions are swimming in this problem. PRFC, Maryland especially. I heard 2 days ago that Maryland is taking a bill through the General Assembly, their General Assembly, to try and outlaw taking cow nose rays, period. I mean, that's what I heard from Dave Blazer, who's the director of Maryland. So I think on this one, we can do it without it really impacting us. We do have a lot to do, and I'm very happy that you recognize that, Mr. Zedron, because it's not a big staff. I mean, it is not a big staff.
But they are mighty. Mr. Tankard, you have your hand up.
I think that it is, you're saying that, and I think that helps us maybe move to something that's a little more positive with regard to it, and the registry is probably a good idea. But I think the humane treatment of these animals is something that's on the minds of lots of people that maybe we don't see. I know on the Eastern Shore, we'll see if you pull up to a beach on a summer day, there might be a dozen, 20 of these carcasses with the babies pulled out, cut out, and the public really doesn't like seeing that at their beach. And I think that the registry and the outreach about being humane would be positive for the Commonwealth.
And we have someone with Facebook capabilities sitting over there.
Oh, yeah, let's load up all this.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Mr. Erskine.
So I apologize for asking another question, maybe making another comment. But I'm concerned that if we move in this direction of gathering data on bow fishing tournaments in Virginia, that we're somehow suggesting that there is a fishery for cow nose rays. And I go back to the fact that we do not have the appropriate data to suggest that there's any fishery management plan or any development of such. So why would we move in the direction of requiring the bow fishing tournaments or the bow fishermen themselves to be under this kind of scrutiny? I think we're moving in the wrong direction.
Mr. Erskine, let me flip that back on you. I'm not trying to be rude, but what is the harm in asking the or requiring the bow fishing tournaments to tell us when they're going to be operating and how many people are participating? I fail to see the harm.
Well, one point was Mr. Zedron. I think that was valid, you know, that their staff, we're about to talk about an oyster fishery, which staff has put in an immense amount of time. We don't have a crab dredge fishery anymore. We go through all of these issues. The prioritization of cow, nose, rays, and bowfish hunting, I'm sorry, is just not, I don't think it should take the time of staff at VMRC. And I just feel it's really lies with the people that have an issue with this should go out and get the data. Our recommendation, I would feel more comfortable suggesting that this commission recommend that when the data is available, and we would support any funding, wherever that may come from, to conduct population structure size of cow nose rays, migratory patterns, these kind of things, we would be supportive of that kind of data to be collected on cow nose ray population. But to put it on the bow fishermen to say, we're going to require you to contact us when we have a tournament, I just don't think we're there. We're somehow justifying that there's a fishery, and there isn't.
And I can only disagree with you once during a meeting. So, but I mean, it's tough for me to say or anyone to say it's not going on the other hand. So,
let me be clear. I didn't suggest it's not going on. I just think us as a commission suggesting that it's the responsibility of the bow fishermen to provide this data. I think the data belongs with the researchers and the academics. Find the money to go and determine the status, the stock population and the migratory patterns, the reproduction rates and everything else. Then we'll talk about a fishery. Sorry, I'm done.
That's all right.
Any other comments from the commission? Well, it's been a very interesting discussion. I'm not sure we have a path forward. Let's hold this in abeyance for a while and see where it goes.
The video started the whole
thing. All right.
Thank you.
Now, important stuff.